We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jordana is off today. She is shushing down the slopes. I think she's in Colorado. She didn't give me details. She just said that she was heading out with her family for a few days of snowboarding, trying to avoid trees on the way down the slopes. She's back tomorrow, safe and sound, and we are looking forward to that. I also want to mention, full disclosure, one of my businesses does business with Lifetime. We actually provide them with briefings when there's extreme weather, when there's a potential for flooding or tornadoes or anything. We send them briefings. So I just, full disclosure, I just wanted to get that out of the way. That is not the reason why the CEO and chairman and founder of Lifetime is joining me today. Bahram Akradi, thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Thanks, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Appreciate you making some time to join us on CCO.
Looking forward to it.
You wrote a really eloquent call to action, and it struck me as long overdue and much needed, and I hope other business leaders in this nation also rise to the occasion. You wrote that only as a united nation will we solve the real problems we face right here at home while positively influencing the world around us. What caused you to write this letter, Bahram?
Great question, Paul. You know, I have been reflecting on what has been happening with our politics over the last 20 plus years. And unfortunately, I see this trend towards being more antagonistic, you know, more attacks and counterattacks, less actually working on issues that matters to our country on a committed bipartisan approach that is for the good of our nation, good of our people. And so I am thinking that the way this can get fixed is by the citizens of the United States, by the community leaders, business leaders, to just simply ask our politicians and, you know, some of these TV shows that they kind of sound like they're news, but they're really just looking for drama, and they're just kind of spinning everything out of control. And it seems to me that the far right and far left have hijacked the stage, and most people that I know, most people in the center, whether if they're leaning Republican or leaning Democrat, they basically have unplugged and they don't engage. And so this has got dangers for our country, where I feel like we are not really resolving important issues. And so I'm asking for unity. I'm asking for people to reflect on how we can serve the country and its people, the nation, as a whole, by working together, by trying to have very, very intelligent, incredibly respectful discussions that focuses on how we can fix things. It may be people have different ideas, maybe they have different opinion, but if we listen carefully to the why behind that opinion rather than immediately attacking or counterattacking, we can actually get to better solutions, keep refining the solutions. So it's time, I think, we all band together and ask for unification. America is a great country. We have amazing rights in this country for everyone. Everybody has the ability to flourish and do well, mm-hmm, of all kinds of all paths, all sex, all genders, all races, everybody. It's just a beautiful country. We need to protect and preserve it for our children.
Bahram, you wrote something that I thought was eloquent. You said so many things are amazing in this country, and yet every conversation seems to be an attack or counterattack. It's not healthy. It's not productive. You came here as a child from Iran. So you have a unique perspective, especially when it comes, you know, the subject of legal immigration, et cetera. We're a nation of immigrants, obviously. How has your life experience, the arc of your life, the arc of your career as an entrepreneur, how has that flavored your opinion of where we are now politically?
Yeah, great question. So I came at 17 years old on my own, and I worked full time, went to school full time. And you know what? Honestly, you know, I could sit in here and go, oh, you know, when I first got here, there was a hostage crisis and a few people, you know, looked at me funny or made fun of me or told me some derogatory comment. The truth is, I have had equal rights as everybody else. And so I celebrate the successes of this nation. You know, 100 years ago, you know, we didn't treat our Afro-American citizens correctly. And it was very, very painful. Even if today I watch a movie that shows what was being done, it's painful today. But the truth is, we just had a black Afro-American president for 8 years. So we've come a long way. We have one of the most successful billionaires in this country, Oprah. You know, and so when you look at that, when we have, you know, all kinds of equalities being exercised in the law, that doesn't mean there aren't people who still act prejudiced or maybe have a different sentiment. But the law is giving all of us equal opportunity. And I think we need to celebrate the progresses we have made. We need to stay focused on the positive. We need to come together with the idea we're one nation, and we're the most powerful nation, we're most successful nation. And this is within itself a responsibility to set a great example for other nations in the world. And we certainly are not going to prevail as much as we can if all of our time is focused on attacks and counterattacks. I give you one quick example if I have a minute here,
sure.
Paul. If I have 36,000 employees today. They're growing to be, you know, 40,000 next year and so on. If half of my employees spent all of their day attacking that the other half, the other 18,000, aren't doing their job and what they're doing wrong, and the other 18,000 did the same thing to the other 18,000, within a month, we'll be bankrupt. And I think if the CEOs of large corporations with large employees just sit back and reflect, if their employees were so much against each other day and night, they wouldn't survive either. But we sit back and we watch our nation go through this, and I think it's now time for the citizens to strongly ask everyone, the politicians and the media, to start focusing on uniting us rather than dividing us.
But Ram, I've been saying for some time, my perception is that the conversation has been hijacked by extremes on either side, whether it's the loony left or the rabid right, and that most people are somewhere in the middle of the bell curve. They may lean right, they may lean left, but it just seems like we can't have a debate, a discussion, and compromise now has become a dirty word. It's slash and burn, all or nothing. What do we have to do? Does our politics reflect the way we really feel? How on earth do we get politics back on track, focused on solutions, focused on things that will help all Americans?
By the simple act from those people that you just mentioned, that largely in the middle, to speak up. And so the example of this is, you know, when I left Iran in 1978 or 79, if, Paul, you went to a house, any house in Iran, you knocked on the door and you said, I'm from America, it is 99% chance they would have invited you in, they would have cooked for you, cleaned for you, and do anything possible to help you. Mm. So today is no different. If you go to Iran and you take a survey of, you know, 1,000 people in the street, you know, at least 97-98% will do the same thing to you today. They love America. They want to be part of this nation. They're close to the Western society, etc. 2-3% that was extremist hijacked the message and the stage. And if you look back and you say, what did the 97% do wrong? They let it happen. So the rest of us today in the United States who recognize we have a great country and we have maybe a little bit of difference, bias to the right or to the left, doesn't matter, but we're more in the center. But we're sitting quietly in the back and watching what we don't like and do nothing about it. We need to change that. We need to become vocal. We need to simply ask, we are looking for balanced discussion. We're looking for actual data, actual news that is not biased. And so if we ask for that with enough momentum, enough voices, I really do believe the politicians would have no choice but to actually respond.
I wonder, too, about whether or not we're hiding behind our screens. All of us, and I'm no different than anybody else, our computer screens, our phone screens, and it's easy to shout when you're on a device. Much easier to shout. Much harder to shout when you're face-to-face. I just wonder if, you know, the whole town hall, personal engagement, people, when they're face-to-face, tend to be a little more courteous and at least give the impression of hearing the other side. So I have to wonder, too, if there isn't a format issue that that might help. But as long as we're, you know, in our news echo chambers, it's going to be challenging. But I give you a lot of credit. Are you getting any kind of feedback from some of the other business leaders that you hang out with, Bahram?
Well, so far, interestingly enough, 100% of responses that we're getting is some shade of positive. Everything is, you know, depending on, people are totally in favor of this. They think it's about time somebody speaks up, mm-hmm. and or, you know, it's positive in every way, because I think all I'm asking is, I don't have a bias one way or the other, zero. You know, I've been making sure more and more and more over the last 10 years, I would pull myself away from somebody saying, well, he's a Republican or he's a Democrat. You know, I want to serve as a citizen. I want to serve America. And I think that having that sort of an unbiased voice is what I've been working towards, and I'm committed to maintaining that. However, there is some positive, you know, news. I think there is a small coalition of some new Congress people that they are working in very small group, maybe, you know, maybe six of this side and six of that side, or 10 of this side, 10 of that side, that they are working on this sort of a bipartisan approach to solving the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think the nation coming together, citizens, and kind of becoming vocal that we want that. This is the kind of movement from the outside asking for this sort of a unification approach, and may give those people on the inside of the Congress or Senate who are trying to bring people together a little more leverage, rather than, you know, one group wanting to, you know, make the other group look bad at any expense, even if it's wrong for America. And I think that's what we have to ask for it to stop. And media has a play in this. And I appreciate you, Paul, to giving me the opportunity to speak. The media has opportunity to do something with this. There are a lot of people who their business is based on the rating. And if they're more Jerry Springer-like, if they create more fights and more screaming and yelling,
yeah.
maybe they get a little yep. more rating.
Yep.
That may be serving them, but it's not serving America.
I could not agree more. And I give you credit. Last year at this time, you turned off CNN and Fox News and MSNBC at all your clubs, and most of your 1.7 million lifetime customers are okay with that?
Well, we had about 80-20, where 80% of people were very much, you know, in favor of taking that unhealthy, you know, banter shows out of the big screens. Again, Paul, we made it very clear that people could get that those channels on the individual machines, if they choose so, on an individual treadmill or whatever. But on the big screen, I am not going to support things that are so divisive and make people angry and they have ulterior motives. And so I was determined, I was certain that that's what I'm going to do. We did it, and we don't hear much of anything about that today, but it's been generally 4-1 or more a positive reaction from the customer. But, you know, the issue with those things as well is part of it, people said you're anti-news, and I said absolutely not. Give me news, give me factual-based, unbiased news, and I'll gladly put it up. It's the question I have, is it right for a TV station to be titled a news station, but in fact, the bulk of what they cover are TV shows?
Great questions, and I'm glad you're bringing up these questions. Bahram Akradi is founder, chairman, CEO of Lifetime. The hashtag, check this out on Twitter, United, not divided. Hashtag United, not divided. I encourage you to seek out Bahram Akradi's op-ed, and I think every business leader, every citizen should read this. And I appreciate what you're trying to do, Bahram.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You bet. God bless, and thanks for joining us today on CCO.
Thanks again. Same for you. Bye.
When we come back, ticket prices going up at the State Fair, just a little bit, but how do you feel about that? That's next on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Makes me happy just talking about the State Fair. And, of course, CCO will be broadcasting live there, as they do every year. It's a chance to meet and greet and eat and eat. Record-setting year of attendance in 2018. The Great Minnesota Get-Together is getting even bigger, and so are its admission prices. It's only going up $1, $1 increase in admission fees, citing, and again, the State Fair citing rising costs in facilities upkeep and services such as the free park and ride systems. However, you can lock in last year's admission prices if you go on the website up until February 1 on the State Fair website. You can get the tickets at last year's prices. More than 2 million visitors attended the fair during its 12-year run last year, and there's room for more. I think Texas still beats us. Isn't Texas a little bit bigger?
I think that they go longer, so they end up with bigger attendance numbers.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, so they cheat. I mean, it's Texas. I get it.
Well, again, I look, prices go up, cost of living increases. I understand. I guess I'm not too outraged over $1 a ticket increase. $20 million in improvements. So it's not like this money is going to any one individual. This is going to improve the state fairgrounds.
Well, and they've done a lot of work
they have
in the last couple of years, especially on that north end of the fairgrounds. And I, for one, am supportive of that because
Machinery Hill.
The biggest problem with the state fair is congestion, right? When you go on a busy day and it's just impossible to get around. And so what they're trying to do is build up that north end of the fair to give people someplace else to go to kind of thin out the crowd a little bit, make it a little bit easier to get around. So I'm all for that. And at $15 is not an unreasonable charge, I don't think, to get into the state fair. I know it gets pricey when people go there, you know, multiple days. And given the amount of money you're spending on the fairgrounds, you know, you don't want to gouge people too much just to get in the door. But, you know, an extra dollar I don't think is going to hurt anybody, and especially if they can improve amenities like that. When they tell you exactly where that money's going and it's not just a profit deal, I got no problem with it.
And again, the state fair, and I agree with you. I think it's reasonable considering what they're doing with that money. They're trying to make it bigger and better and improve everything. The dates, August 22nd through Labor Day, and the regular gate admission, which is up $1 from 2018, $15. So anyway, just made me happy talking about the state fair. All right, when we come back, what are we doing, Dan Cook?
We're going to talk more about those crazy NFL games tomorrow.
Save me from myself. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people talking about the NFL playoff games yesterday, and whether or not you believe in karma, or what's my favorite word, schadenfreude, taking delight in somebody else's misfortune, which I know is not the way you're supposed to do it, but I think we're wired to some degree to do that. We want to get your input and your impression of yesterday's games. What would you change? If you were an NFL mucky muck, what would you change? If you were Mr. Goodell, or would you not change a thing? I guess the NFL is rolling in money. But yesterday left a lot of people scratching their heads. That's coming up next on CCO.
Second and seven. Stands in the pocket and throws. Intended for Edelman, no flag. So now this gives the Chiefs sack specialist. Oh, there is a flag.
Defense number 95.
And Chris Jones in the middle, you're going to see him push the pocket on Tooney, and right there he slaps.
A slap? That wasn't a slap.
It was more of a slap than it was a roughing the passer.
It wasn't a roughing the passer.
No,
he just rested his, well, boy.
And what was wild about that play in that game is that there was a play previous to that one, and not too much, you know, earlier, where Patrick Mahomes had the same kind of deal. A defender came across the front of his jersey, caught him around the neck, but didn't hit him in the head, and there was some question about whether there should have been a roughing the passer call there, and they didn't make the call there. But, you know, you breathe too close to Tom Brady and flag's going to come out.
And I think that's one of many things that frustrates fans, right? I don't care who you were rooting for. The fact that the rules don't seem to be applied evenly, and we have more rules than ever, and we spend more time watching slow-mo instant replay from 15 different angles. Somebody I like on Deadspin, Tom Lay, wrote, "The experience of watching an NFL game is now a crazy-making one. It's a sport that requires you to sit on your couch for 3 hours and spend the whole time questioning if what you saw is really what you saw and to never really be given a satisfactory answer."
So, and that's the catch rule specifically that I think he's referring to there, right?
Right.
When the guy has the ball and maybe it hit the ground.
Did he have control?
Did he still have control? Then it's okay if it hits the ground, but it's not okay if he doesn't have control. And how do you judge control? And you watch these replays 8,000 times and you can convince yourself of whatever it is you want to see there.
And we should point out, it's not an exact science like meteorology, foreign policy, or economics. And this still requires human beings interpreting this. We don't have robots yet that are making these calls. So you're always going to have missed calls. That missed pass interference call probably cost the Saints the game yesterday. And it made me sick. It really made me sick to my stomach.
Not only did that missed call cost them the game, but it was so blatantly missed. That was the biggest problem, right?
Right.
Again, we talked about it a little earlier. When the ball sails behind the defender and there's contact, odds are that the defender was there probably too early, right? That's not that hard of a call to make. What made it even more egregious is that there was helmet-to-helmet contact.
You could hear it.
Which is absolutely a penalty and a big one in the NFL. And, yeah, you could hear it. When you watch the replay, you can absolutely hear the helmets colliding, and there was an official not 5 yards away that apparently missed that entirely.
Well, again, a lot of Minnesota fans just fine with the fact that the Rams won the game yesterday. And I would defy you to tell me why Tom Brady is not the best NFL player that has ever been in light of what he has accomplished. I can't say I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, but it's hard not to respect this guy. 5 Super Bowl championships. This will be his 9th, right?
This will be the 9th Super Bowl that they've been a part of, yeah.
Right. 18-year career with the Patriots. 3 times NFL Most Valuable Player MVP, 14 times Pro Bowl award, 3 times First Team All-Pro, 2 times NFL Offensive Player of the Year, the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. The fact that he's 41, married to a supermodel.
That doesn't hurt.
I mean.
And this is, you want to know how big Tom Brady is? He managed in the post-game interview to not only drop an F-bomb and get away with it, but then to also give a shout out to the supermodel wife. Just in case you forgot, as I go to my 9th Super Bowl, that my life is blessed, I'm going to say hi to my supermodel wife at home.
And here's a photo.
Yes.
For those
just
of you.
In case.
Yeah. Did the F-bomb get on the air?
I think it did, yeah.
Did it really?
I think it did.
How did that happen? What happened to this? They don't have a 7-second rule?
Somebody missed the button. They need to hire me to hit the dump button.
Good grief.
It was really fast, and it was really subtle. It was easy to move. In fact, when it happened, I sort of went, hey, wait a minute, did he just say? And it wasn't until I saw a story later on that confirmed that, yeah, he actually said that.
So, I don't know. Maybe this is just the way things have to be. We want to protect the safety of our NFL players. I get that. We want the calls to be right, and so we second guess ourselves, and we have the technology, and we look at these plays from multiple angles. It'll never be perfect, but what can we do to make NFL great again? Jim and Siren, what do you think?
Yeah, hey, Paul. Yeah, hey. I would propose that currently right now, you know that we have the challenges that the coaches can throw the red flag.
Right.
I'd recommend that you have one per game that this is opposite of, totally away from the challenges. They have one flag, a different flag, whether it's green or whatever color, but it can be any call that's, deemed, they feel that it's a game changer, like that one yesterday with the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. That then you could have thrown a flag out and they said, no, that is changing the whole game.
Yeah.
So just one per game that they have, but they take the chance when they throw it.
So what's the downside? I mean, there's got to be some, like with the challenges, if you throw the challenge flag and you lose the challenge, you lose the timeout.
You lose the timeout.
Is that got to be for the?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to at least lose
the timeout.
There's
got to be something, right?
If you're wrong.
Or you take 5-yard penalty or something like that.
Sure, but see what I'm saying is when you throw this challenge flag, you already used it. So you can only use it once.
Right.
We all know that there's plenty of missed calls or bad calls. It's getting worse. And that one yesterday caused New Orleans to go to the Super Bowl, period.
Right.
No doubt about it. So that flag, if they would have used the flag prior to that in the second half, then they would have been out, that flag.
I think it's a good idea. And
to have some sort of other negative assessment to it, because otherwise you have a team that could do that in a case just to try and stop a clock or, get an extra stop.
But what I'm saying is there could be 2, 3, 4 bad calls for the game, but you choose – it's all up against chance when you're going to use that flag. Right. You get it one a game. There's no need for a timeout here or there. We already had that with the other challenges.
You get one gimme.
One gimme.
One lifeline.
It could be up against a play that nowadays they're saying, well, you can't use it because the play was called dead. Forget it. This play, you can do that. You can charge. You can go against that play.
All right. Great idea, Jim. I hope the NFL is listening. Mr. Goodell. Roger in Columbia Heights, what did you make of yesterday's games?
Well, if it would have been any other team but the Saints, I would have felt really bad about it.
Yeah, but you couldn't help but grin a little bit, right?
Yeah.
A little karma?
Yeah. I was going to mention, though, in the Canadian Football League, they can challenge a non-penalty call. That is part of the two challenges in the Canadian League.
Really?
Yep.
And that must be working for them. How long do you have any idea how long they've been doing that?
I don't know. I was just because I was watching the Blue Cup, which is their version of Super Bowl, and I noticed that they actually call that. But it's one of the two challenges that they get per game. So.
Roger, are we too dependent on technology and instant replay and looking at things from 8 different angles? I mean, I know we want to get the play's right, but it just seems like the pace of play sometimes suffers. And now everybody's an armchair quarterback, and instead of watching the game, we're kind of hung up in the weeds.
I think the technology is important, but the pace of the game, it's already slow enough, with all the commercials. I mean, I don't know if you've been to a game lately, but you really notice the time that you have to wait for a commercial break.
The commercials. No, I get it. Hey, Roger, thank you for calling,
thank
sir.
You. Yeah, bye.
Rob, what do you make of all this yesterday? Any opinions?
Hey, guys, I got two things. One that's not being talked about is there was a call for roughing a kicker. Yes.
So it's a bit that thing, except the offense and defensive linemen or people were rolling together in a giant ball, but they call it against the offense. I mean, if the defender falls down and you, because of that you roll, you know, both of you roll into the kicker, how the heck do you call it on the offense when you're in a pile? I mean, just one guy's defending, next guy, you both go down, you start rolling because you're pushing. You know, that, and that was one where it was, you know, there's a punt, but now suddenly because the punt was roughing, it was first down.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray. There's a lot of gray with these rules. I don't disagree with you. What's your other point?
Bruce, and maybe Dan can help with this one. Not a big-time Brady fan. It has nothing to do with the fact he's won 9 championships. There just seems to be too much gray area in some of the stuff him and Belichick do. But at the same time, I think there has to be a little bit of prop. I don't hear anybody talking about. How many coaches did they lose last year?
Assistant coaches, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's several. I mean,
well, I know the one guy went to Detroit, right?
Yep. Patricia. Yeah.
And then they lost somebody else bigger. So they've done this, losing their two head assistant coaches.
Yeah, and it's because Bill Belichick's, you know, the Grand Master, right? I mean, you look at Nick Saban in Alabama. I think he lost 7 assistant coaches after this past season, and he turns them over like crazy at Alabama. He hires all these former head coaches that have gotten into trouble and rehabs them for a year or two, and then they go off and get other jobs. It's because the head guy is just that good. I mean, you know, there's the system in place, and know your role and do your job, and everybody's going to be just fine.
And that's just it. You know, so again, like Belichick or not, or like Brady or not, you have to give some kind of props to the fact that they could interchange coaches, players. I mean, the guy that scored 2 touchdowns, hadn't played a down in most of the year, gets 3 plays, 2 of which are touchdowns.
Yep.
It's like, how do you just plug in a team of 60 guys and you're pulling from 40 on every game to perform in clutch situations and new coaches and new pieces, yet you only have the same quarterback and coach? You can pull this off year after year? That's remarkable. And there has to be some credit given to that, I think.
It is remarkable, Rob, and thank you for the call.
Good night.
Good night, sir. And I absolutely agree with you. I mean, what, Brady's been playing 18 years and he's gotten better over time?
And I know what Rob's saying about the gray area with Brady and Belichick. And
the cheating and the...
Well, I mean, okay, I mean, we got to, you know, you got to parse some of that because Deflategate wasn't cheating. Okay, that's physics.
That was physics.
That was physics. Yeah. And the fact that Tom Brady, you know, didn't want to give the NFL a cell phone, I don't blame Tom Brady a bit for not wanting to get the NFL his cell phone. That's what he got suspended for 4 games, was because he wouldn't give the NFL mm-hmm. his cell phone to check his text messages because the NFL front office leaks like a sieve. And, you know, whatever other information he's got on there, you can't protect it by giving the NFL your cell phone. So I don't blame him a bit for any of that. Spygate was legit. They got caught. But like I said earlier,
everybody does that. I mean, they just got caught.
Everybody tries to push the line somehow, right? If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Everybody's trying to push the line somehow. Mm-hmm. There's too much money. There's too much prestige. There's too much stuff that's at stake.
That's what I taught my kids.
And if you're the Patriots, either they just do it better than everybody else, or they're just that good, and everybody, you know, everybody's cheating on a kind of a similar level.
Yeah, they sure look like they're on a different level. Do we have time for one more, real quick? Hey, Sean, welcome to the show. What do you think?
Am I?
You're on, sir.
Oh yeah. Okay. I got a comment about, you know, the Patriots in Kansas City, the no call on the roughing the passer for Tom Brady.
Right.
It's kind of similar to me with the Saints and Rams game, because that really did change it, because if he threw an interception on that.
Yeah, right? You're right.
So yeah. If they don't call that penalty, Chiefs probably win. All right. So it is what it is, right? But then, you know, like with the Saints and the Rams, yeah, Saints really got snackled on that no call.
Snackled. I learned a new word today.
Yeah, I was worried where he was going there for
a
minute.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
I appreciate the call, Sean. Thank you. And, yeah, it's going to be an interesting Super Bowl. Man, deja vu all over again.
Sounded like most of the lines open up in Vegas is even odds.
Even odds?
And the betting money came in hard early on the Patriots, so that they're slight favorites at this point. So.
Jeez.
I don't know how you bet against Tom Brady. That was literally, I tweeted that about 3 different times over the course of that fourth quarter yesterday, is I'm not betting against Tom Brady. I'm not, every time the Chiefs score, I'm still not betting against Tom Brady.
So in 35 years, is Brady going to be out there in a walker?
And still probably better still, than half of the quarterbacks in the NFL? I mean, I can't, again, I'm not betting against Tom Brady.
I'd pay to see that. I'd pay to see him in a wheelchair throwing bullets.
That would be something.
Yeah, boy. All right.
Hey, thank you for weighing in. 5:50 right now. It is Wixon Jewelers time. Wixon is Minnesota's destination for rare and exceptional diamonds and gemstones, just off 35W in Bloomington. First sign of spring this morning, at least for me, driving downtown, following a couple of ski boats. The boat show is this weekend, but we have some tickets for the RV Super Show, which is coming up. This is a four-pack of tickets to the RV Super Show at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's coming up January 31st to February 3rd. Makes me happy just saying RV. And if you have any inclination, any interest, caller number 4, you will win a four-pack of tickets to the RV Super Show at U.S. Bank Stadium. 651-989-9226. Caller number 4, 651-989-9226. Dan Cook will be happy to give you 4 tickets for the RV show. Another sign of spring. Day 31 of the federal government shutdown. No movement today, of course. Martin Luther King Day. Couple of things that I saw that made me do a double take. Of course, the president offered a compromise to end the government shutdown, not budging on the $5.7 billion demand for a border wall. He offered 3 years of protection for Dreamers. And the U.S. president dismissed conservative criticism that his offer amounted to amnesty. Tomorrow, Jordana is back with Tales of Woe. We hope you'll join us. Thanks for joining us today on CCO. Be careful out there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.